And amen. Hallelujah. Well, in 2016, we'll say it every week. We're going to what? Keep Jesus close. Because that is the answer. It is the answer, is to keep Jesus close. I can't tell you, I don't get tired of hearing that song, Wrap Me in Your Arms. I don't know. I have it on a CD, and I play it, and I don't know what it is. I'm sure it'll fade eventually. You know, every song has like a moment, you know? Like, Michelle will introduce a new song, and she'll have a moment. The song will have a time. You notice that? Like, it just hits you. And then after a while, it's like, that's an old one. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm sure that's one of Michelle's challenges, is trying to figure out which is the song that's striking the chord with the Spirit of God. And that's kind of what a worship leader does. And it's just keeping Jesus close, wrap me in your arms. And for me, it's been like a year and a half, and it still works with me, but that's okay. It's all good. And we want to keep Jesus close. And during these summer months, we've been focusing on two concepts. If you haven't written them down, I encourage you, write them down. This summer, I believe that God is trying to get our attention to be people of substance over style. Substance, the real deal. Real Christians that are growing. There's nothing worse in my mind than a stagnant, lukewarm Christian life. Because it's no victory there. And it's like quicksand. That's the way I like to describe it. It's like quicksand. You're trying to get out and you're just sinking. And sometimes we feel that way, and we have to be honest with ourselves. Lord, I just need you, and surrender everything to him. And that's one thing, is God wants us to be people of substance over style. And also that this is the summer, write this down, that God wants us to set things right in our lives. To set things right according to God's word. Because people of substance tend to set things right in their life. Amen? They kind of go together. When you begin to really want to grow and want more of God, and as our young people describe how they were filled with the Spirit, it is a real thing to be filled with the Spirit, because in the book of Acts, you can read it there in chapter 2. Amen? And it's not easily understood because it's not here. And I think, was it Isaiah who mentioned something about, I learned how to not let it come from here, but just kind of from here. Just start praising God. It's a concept that the church is afraid to really dive into, but really, in Acts chapter 2, it's pretty clear. And Jesus said, go into the upper room and wait for the Holy Spirit, and power will fall upon you. Amen? Now, how that's manifested is really different for a lot of people. And you know the gifts and all that. We won't get into that today. But it is so real. When people of substance begin to seek God, they'll be filled. They'll be filled. And last week we talked about just be you. You don't have to all of a sudden change your whole personality and become somebody else to be right with God. You just be you, and righteousness and living right according to God's word, that's all you need. You plus God equals a masterpiece. That's it. It's not that complicated, is it? That's why I love Billy Graham. He just made it so simple. Repent. Come to the altar. Tell Jesus to forgive you. Live a new life. Wow. And at camp, and this is kind of what I want to talk about here for just a minute. At camp, we as a church received a prophecy that I wrote down, and I want to share that with you today. And I think we just need to receive this as a word that we need to pray about us reflecting this. And we were told this. Someone just kind of said, the Donna Church, I just feel God's telling me to tell you this. And he said this. He said that we here in Donna Hope Community Church have been placed as a gateway. In our gateway, people will be attracted to it because of the love we have for one another. Isn't that awesome? I just thought, wow. I interpreted it this way. I mean, it speaks for itself, but I interpret it this way. People will find hope in our gateway here because they see genuine love, which really is a reflection of God's love. You see, as you continue to grow in the Lord, you will love one another. And you'll still annoy somebody every once in a while, you know. That's human nature, right? But there's a difference when you begin to care for people. There's a difference. And when people encounter God's love, they're never the same. Amen? They're just never the same. This morning, we encounter God's presence and love. And at camp, people encountered God's presence and love. We'll never be the same if we're open to receiving what He's doing to our hearts. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 13, verse 34. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 13, verse 34. God's Word says this. Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." After hearing this prophetic statement about us being a gateway for love, for the real deal, I read this scripture and Jesus made it very clear that people will know who we are because of our love for one another. How will they see this love through you? How will people see when you're out in the colonias and we're helping people, or at the food bank, or we do something together, or trying to impact, or you're talking to your coworkers, friends? How will they see this love? You know, phony love is all talk and no action. You know that guy that knows how to say the right words to that girl and they're just so flattered? Oh, he said some beautiful things to me. You will always know the real deal by actions. Amen? So young ladies, don't be flattered by the fancy words. And there are some people that can write beautiful letters. Right? Yeah. So, don't get all caught up in that. Actions. You know, they say, watch how someone treats their mother. That tells you a lot. Amen? You want to know how a guy is going to be, watch how they treat their mother, because the Bible tells us to honor our father and our mother. All right, so phony love is all talk and no action. That kind of love stinks. You know, have you heard that person that says, "Oh, I'm praying for you," then later, "I heard so-and-so said so-and-so." Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has the right way of doing things. Sometimes in a highly charged emotional setting, you may say something negative about someone else. You're in the middle of all that. Just deflect it. Say something like, "I'm sure they're doing what they think is best," or just deflect it. Leave it there. Because actions speak louder words. I've heard people say negative things about something, but they were just, and then later on, go work and serve that thing that they were complaining about. The actions speak louder than words. So if you come to me and say, "So-and-so is talking real bad about you," and I see them helping me on, I'm just going to go with what I see. I'm not going to go with what I hear. You know what I'm saying? Because actions speak louder than words. Now, you can try to fake the actions for a while, but at the end of the day, it will come out. Amen? So really love people. Romans 13:10. Turn to Romans 13:10. I want to read this scripture before we close here. In Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. There is a lot in that scripture. When you love the way God has intended us for loving one another, you do not purposely try to hurt somebody. Or you don't find no ill to his neighbor. In other words, you're looking out for the best for people. This means you want the best for others. You want others to grow in the Lord, and you act accordingly. So that sometimes jealousy that comes over us because such and such is getting so much more recognition about being a Christian than I am, and just God is the judge. Amen? Just love people. Want the best for people. You rejoice when God answers their prayer. You hurt when they hurt. When someone does you wrong, you leave them in God's hands. He knows best. Forgive and trust God's justice. Because God is good. He's looking out for everyone's best interests. No ill will to his neighbor. So if we are a gateway when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, let me say this first. He showed an example of caring for others. The disciples did not deserve to have their feet washed by Jesus. But Jesus said, you're going to have to accept this if you understand who I am. Because the disciples were like, Jesus, you don't wash my feet. You got this backwards. And Jesus says, if you understand who I am, you understand this. Because what Jesus was saying is, when I leave, I need you all to care for each other. And that was symbolic. Now, I don't want anybody washing somebody's feet in here right now. That's unless the Lord really spoke to you about verbally, then okay. But you get the point that Jesus said, I'm about to leave. And I need you to care for each other like this. And it's not about position and it's not about titles. I am Jesus, the Messiah. Yes, you don't deserve your feet washed. But I'm going to do it anyway because I'm showing you an example of how I need you to care for each other. Together. And they did it. Jesus used that as an example that we need to make sure we serve, we care, and we love people. Even the ones the world has defined as unlovable. Amen? That's the hardest, I know. Love and care for people. Even the ones the world has defined as unlovable. Last scripture, and we're going to close today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. I said, Michelle, she'll just get ready. As I read this final scripture, we'll close. I just believe that we've seen a lot today. We've seen awesome God just show up in our worship, and we've seen some testimonies where the young kids couldn't even get the words out for the emotional experience that they know God did in their lives, and now we're hearing God's word about loving one another. This changes the world. This changes the world. In 1 Corinthians 12, 25 through 31, it says this. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members of the body, and we're all part of the body, should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Amen? See, when we're rejoicing for Eloy, that's scriptural. We care. Amen? Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, some teachers, some miracles, some gifts of healing, some gifts of helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Do all prophet? Do all teach? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts and show unto you a more excellent way. So it's clear here in the body that there's a bunch of moving parts. And not everybody can do everything, right? But let me read verse 13, verse 1, and this is the last scripture for today. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and I have no charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, you can have tremendous gifts, but if you don't love, it's nothing. Amen? God keeps it simple, doesn't He? So it is awesome how God has given us amazing gifts and has filled us and all of that. But all of that should be pushing our journey into and our character into people that love one another. It's like gravity. As you drop a ball from a building, gravity just says, I'm coming down. When you begin to give your life to God, gravity in the spirit begins to shape you to someone who just loves people. And you will find the more that people, God touches them and moves them, and you don't become jealous anymore. You rejoice that they're growing in the Lord like you are. And it's not a competition anymore. It's just love. The kind of love we're talking about today is not man-made love. The kind of love that God has called this church to be, a gateway of love, caring for someone as yourself, as the Bible says, this kind of love does not come by carnal means. It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit taking over your life. You see, we can't fake this love. It just becomes who you are. When the Spirit of God empowers us to love and to care for others, it is transformational. It changes everything. And many of you hear God and you feel His presence this morning, and maybe thinking, well, I'm so wrapped up in my own stuff. God's patient. God's kind. And He's waiting for the church to be a gateway of love, of real love, of Holy Spirit empowered love. The title of this sermon is Love Supernaturally. Because it takes the Holy Spirit to fill us to love like this. So this morning, as a church, as a body, as Michelle leads us in a song, we're going to close this way. As a church, we're going to respond and say, if we stand together, we'll say, we will be saying this. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to love by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Not by man's understanding, but by supernatural understanding. I want us to be a church that the community will say all over this valley, they're not expecting anything in return. They just give and care. Because that's who God is. So church, let's not just stand and go through the motions. But let's be passionate about letting God fill us so that we can love one another like He does. This is our mission. This is our calling. I receive it. As a pastor of this church, we are called to be a gateway of love. The jealousy, the envy. We surrender it, Lord. We have a church across the street. And we shouldn't think of a competition about how many go there and how many go here. We should rejoice that people are getting saved in a church. We rejoice, Lord, for all the churches that are bringing people closer to You. Genuine love. On the count of three, if you are ready to let God fill you with this supernatural love, just I'm going to ask you to stand and count to three, and we're just going to sing and receive.